Ugh, what is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Appreciate you stopping by, and hopefully you're along for the ride. We'll take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7, but the most important thing is that you're with us, we're with you, so fasten your seat belts and away we go.
Your Barry, what there?
Sir? What?
Your seat belts?
Seat belts? Well, I'm trying to get you, getting you like Dale.
You got kind of country there for a
while. Well, you know, from time to time when I'm driving around town, it hits you, and then you kind of wash yourself off and scrub it out, go again. All right.
Do you have a good night? Do anything fun?
Come on, man. You know my life.
I know.
I mean, I had baby duty. I texted you so that you remembered Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I went back and forth between, I watched Hard Knocks and then went to the Astros game. So,
oh, you flew all the way?
Yeah, I caught up with Jose in Seattle.
Who?
Our Jose Partida is at this entire series in Seattle.
Why?
A little vacation. He's going Seattle, Portland.
He, oh, for vacation?
I think so.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's for vacation. He and Gio went.
Do they know people up there?
Not that I know of, but he was asking me like spots to go to, and because I lived in Portland for 4 years.
So was it that they were just wanting to go up to the Pacific
Northwest?
It might
be that they just wanted to. Nick might
know.
They
were following the Astros?
I think they're following the Astros, but I'm not sure. Nick, do you know why Jose and Gio went up to Seattle and Portland?
Wasted a trip.
Outside them being buddies? No, I really don't know.
They just went to get high and not pay any sales tax?
Jose's not like that.
Oh.
Gio's a different story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jose was posting pictures at the Comic Book Hall of Fame or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So there are no girls on this trip, then?
Oh, God, no.
There are no...
No.
There will be no sexing.
Well... I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying.
But with girls. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But yeah. I know that they're up there. Because he said, Minute Maid looks crazy tonight with the fog. And obviously, it was at Safeco for the...
he said Minute Maid.
Yeah, he did on the Twitter. So, they're up there.
Nice.
But I did. I watched the game. And then the dilemma of all dilemmas.
Uh-oh.
Which, again, you will not relate to. So, I've said to you guys in the past. My wife, literally, if you want to sell, like used sweat socks, and you don't think anyone will buy them, put them in one of those little things that hang from the aisles at grocery stores or at the Walgreens or CVS in the middle of the aisle.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a little flashing light on it goes, hey, check this out. And it's like the freaking potato masher that can also like strain your pasta or something like that.
Right.
She'll buy it immediately. So I get home last night from work, and Lisa, as you know, has a sweet tooth. Her biggest thing in life is like sweets.
Okay.
So she
but
wants,
she doesn't partake. She's got great self-control.
Yeah, but on weekends, and she's a closet chocolate eater for sure.
Okay.
But so she's very proud of the fact, because she's always kind of keeping it in her head, a scorecard of like, Taylor has your feet, but Taylor has this of mine, and Taylor has this. And I'm like, I don't care, but if it makes you happier, then I hope Taylor gets everything of you.
Right.
Right? But I come home, and Taylor's got, because anything donut related, she gets for Taylor. It's toys and other things. And because Taylor's like really stickers, because she gets on the donut kick. There's a Starbucks drive through by our house. Whenever we go there, Taylor knows that two stores down is a Shipley's Donuts.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll be, Daddy Donut?
Mm-hmm.
So I come home last night. Taylor's running around with what I think is a donut. I'm like, Taylor, you can't eat that. You got to eat dinner. Lisa's like, it's not real. So I look at it, and it's like a stress ball. Only it looks just like a donut with like pink frosting and sprinkles.
Okay.
The rest of the night, I kid you not, this thing, I don't care where she went from the bath, where it had to go with her. So Astros in the middle of the game. I'm tired as all get out. I just want her to go to sleep. She falls asleep on me watching the game. So I just get up, put her to bed. Don't even think anything of it. get up at about 2 something in the morning because Lisa's getting ready to leave, and walk through the living room, and I go,
I still can't believe you get up at 2 in the morning.
Well, if she's loud enough, I do. Oh, okay, and I look and I go, oh, God. And the donut is in like 800 pieces, and there's a smiley face on the top of the donut. All I'm looking at is these two eyes staring at me going, yeah, the rest of it, you're gone.
Destroyed.
So I'm thinking about this.
Stupid dogs.
I quickly clean it all up. And that
would have never happened if you had a cat.
It's a good, very good point.
All right, go ahead.
So I clean it all up, and I'm like, she'll never notice. So Lisa goes to work. I go back to bed. I get up. I'm starting to work on stuff for the show. And she gets up, and the first thing I hear is, Daddy, donut. Where's my donut?
Of course.
And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, hey, it's probably in your toy box. I can't find it. We're going to be fine. Just don't worry about it. No, Daddy, donut. I'm like, no, we'll find it later. So I kind of distract her enough to where we get to school. On the way to school, she asks about it. So I'm like calling, texting Lisa, where did you get this dang thing? She's like, I got it at a Walgreens when I was getting ready to check out. I go, shocker, right? I literally covered every Walgreens in the Sugar Land area.
Oh, no. You really love your kid.
Bro, they had everything but the donut.
But if your kid is nagging at you and asking about it over and over again, you kind of have to look for
no.
it.
This is why I probably should never have kids, because I'd be
dogs.
If you ask me about the donut again, I'm gonna spank
you. Backhand you.
I'm gonna spank you. If you the donut
you would
is
backhand
gone.
Your
well,
kid.
There's parent no, of the backhand year material.
You would,
there.
You would like you know that slap no, that comes from the
pimp,
bottom corner.
I wouldn't pimp
goes
slap.
Up.
I'm not pimp slapping my
that's,
kid.
That's you.
He's just angry because I put him on open mouth kissing his dog yesterday.
So
I wouldn't pimp slap my kid. I would spank him, but I wouldn't pimp slap him. Go ahead.
I end up looking all over. And the crazy thing is, Lisa goes, because I found some, but they weren't the exact same thing. Lisa goes, nope. Mm-mm. You got to look for it. Because these things were like just in a big box, right? No. Uh-huh. They come in a wrapper. You remember Fruit Stripe gum?
Yes.
So they
the
come,
flavor lasts 5 seconds.
Exactly right. So they come in a wrapped, a square wrapper that looks like Fruit Stripe gum with all kinds of Chinese writing.
Oh.
Yeah. I asked the lady at the one Walgreens, can you look? She goes, that's the last one. Do you want it? I go, no, that's not the one I'm looking for. She's like, well, that's the only one we got, and I don't have inventory in other stores. You'll just have to go. I covered 4 or 5 other Walgreens, none of which had them.
Uh-oh.
Online.
Oh, no.
I found what I thought was them, but randomly on Amazon, they ranged from $7 to $3.50 to $0.01.
What?
And they all look exactly the same. Same picture and everything. And I'm going, for a penny? What am I missing here? You know? So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I blew so much time. I was like, I got to go. I got to get back home. Lisa comes back, driving back from the station. I told her that I was looking for it. Once again, my wife didn't find it. But dang it if she didn't buy 6 other things because it was kind of close. Or she might think it was. Or it's going to be cool. I'm like, super. So we just spent more money on crap. Just because I couldn't find the donut.
Sounds like you were busy this morning.
Oh, I was pissed off.
And not productive.
No. Well, I mean, I still got to the rundown and stuff.
But I'm saying, like, you didn't get the things accomplished that you wanted to get accomplished.
Nope. Mm-mm. Not at all.
That sucks.
Yep. It's one of those mornings.
Ugh. I slept.
Second day in a row.
Shocker.
Yeah.
You were sleeping when Joel was up?
Well, I mean, I got up
running
at 5.
Around
I got
things,
up at 5:30 with
productive.
The wife. I got up at 5:30 with
How
the wife.
How long does that last? Like 5 minutes?
I had a cup of coffee.
Oh. How do you have a cup of coffee and go back to bed?
Yeah, that's another thing.
I mean, I think I stayed up pretty late, though. I stayed up watching the Astros game.
Yeah.
And then I didn't go to bed right away. So, yeah. I got up about 11:20 after I went back to bed about 6:30. So I'm with you, dude. Rough morning.
Whew. Yeah, tale of two lives here.
Oh, boy.
Whew. And the cats. I had to look at it. I mean, it's there. You don't have to walk.
No.
The cat, you don't have to.
He wouldn't scooch over. Like, he sleeps at the foot of the bed, and I'm like, bro, I'm going to kick you. That's what happened.
He got kicked. He got kicked.
He got kicked.
You would straight kick your cat off the bed. No problem.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, not like right. not like a soccer kick,
but you would like nudge it off.
I would slowly push it. One of those.
It would
where
get
you
the point, and then it would
keep
jump
pushing,
off
yeah.
before it falls.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. If you're in my foot space, yeah, you got to move. No, it's my bad.
I do that to my dog. I
do you?
Yeah.
No.
After the open mouth,
see, See, this is so open mouth news that you're spreading here.
I'm just going by what Barry said.
What does Chano want to talk about? Is that the rest of how you say it?
I wanted to.
Chano? Chano has a pawn shop story. I don't want him to have to wait forever.
All right, we can find out.
Okay, Chief, take it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to. Okay. Chano, what's your pawn
shop
story? Is it
Chano or Chano?
Yeah, how do you pronounce your name?
It's Chano.
Chano? Okay.
Yeah. Can I talk now?
Yeah, you're on the air, live.
All right, listen, man. I went pawn shop hunting today, and I found a Squire guitar signed by the rock god of 101, Stevenson Pruitt. You believe that?
That's crazy.
So I called the Stevenson Pruitt Foundation, and we're going to donate it to the foundation, you know, for younger kids to see. Isn't that like a real good heart feeling when, you know? Hello?
Yeah.
I can barely hear you all.
Well, we're not talking. You're the one talking,
yeah,
bud.
We're letting you talk, Chano. So you found the guitar. You're going to donate it.
Yeah, to the Stevenson Pruitt Foundation, but that ranch.
Yeah. That's great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I called them already, and they went ahead and verified it was a signature. So, man, so now that ranch is going to have something on there that was donated by Chano. Isn't that, like, really cool?
That's, yeah. Oh, you know what? That's on me, guys.
Yeah, that
it
is on
definitely
you.
Is. I was waiting for the call to end before I put it squarely on your shoulders.
I was going to screen it like in the commercial break. I was like, what is this?
Did the pawn shop have to pay him to take it?
Look at the look
it?
On Barry's face. He's like, what the hell was that?
Hell was not the word I was thinking.
Did the pawn shop pay him to take it? Or
what the
stop.
Like, literally. You look, seriously. Did the guitar go down in value?
I don't
Who
know.
Who knows Stevenson Pruitt unless you live in Houston?
I'm all for anything for charity and all that other stuff. God, that was so random.
Can I just tell you that the greatest thing I'll ever remember Stevenson Pruitt for was when...
What the hell just happened?
You did that.
Oh, my God.
My favorite part is I can't hear you. But like, yeah, because you're talking.
When I first got hired by the Rockets, our station was KTRH. Mm-hmm. So we'd go over to the KTRH studios for production and otherwise. And we always tried to go in the morning because we knew Stevenson Pruitt was doing their show. And they had...
Hose.
Yes. And they had contests like, how many hangers can this stripper hang from her nipple? And oh they had a goodness. Contest.
Yeah.
And we were just like...
How come we don't do that?
We would just be like sitting in the lobby going, yeah, this ought to be like the parade of homes. This ought to be interesting. Yeah. So we'll hang out for a while.
Why don't we do that? I tried it. You guys always get nervous. You don't want to do those things. Like, how many hangers can we hang from Joel's nipple? No one wants to do that.
We're not strippers, Barry.
I'm open to being tackled by that monster of a person that tackled that dude at the fast food restaurant. Did you see that girl?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did you see her?
Did you see what I tweeted out?
Dude, she could totally tackle us. She could probably tackle all three of us, honestly.
I don't know. How she doesn't have a job as a left tackle in the NFL, I'll never know. Yeah. You need to tweet that out
and
tell the people to follow.
The one I tweeted out, too, the sheriff's deputy, that they were chasing a guy on foot.
Yes.
And the first deputy's like 30 yards behind, ain't gaining ground. And out of nowhere, this dude closes and just... launches his body and takes him down.
And as far as the camera is from him, you can tell he's a bigger guy, but he's that fast. You know what I mean?
You guys do realize the NFL called a penalty on that because he led with
probably.
His head.
Probably.
All right, we're just getting started. Barry's going to take the calls today.
Jesus.
HRP listener line is wide open
now. I mean,
now.
Good for him for doing something for charity, but you couldn't have made that more awkward.
713-780-3776. It's the HRNP listener line. You can call that. You can text. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's a way back Wednesday. You guys, again, like last week, we're trying a new thing again. We have a theme in mind and why we picked it for each of the 3 hours. You guys have to not only decipher the theme, but also why we picked it, and it normally helps to be a usual suspect to be able to do so. Have fun. We'll see how you do. 713-780-3776. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's the usual suspects on a way back Wednesday. Pre-2008 songs, of course. You guys figure out the theme and why we picked it, as we did last week. Just trying something new here because, good Lord, we pretty much hit every theme that we could think of.
Yeah, we've had to start recycling themes. Or we just always just pick whatever songs we want to pick.
Well, have we recycled things? We really haven't. We've had songs that overlapped because of themes.
Songs do, but the themes, I think that's what I'm saying. We're getting exhausted by trying to find something fresh every week, but we have. I don't think we've gone and like repeated anything.
Well, all I know is the show is off to a great start.
Thanks to you. Cheddar! What the hell was that?
That was a disaster.
I need to give a shout out real quick.
To Chano?
No. No. No, not at all. I took a gamble on a call in the first segment. Now I know why we don't do that. That's my bad.
Let's leave the gambling to Fred and AJ.
Guys, that's on me. That's all on me. But I do want to give a shout out to AR Platinum. That's all I know him as on YouTube. He's a listener. If you recall, was it yesterday or the day before?
Did he call or did he text you?
He texted the show, yeah. And he goes, because I had mentioned the video that I posted on Facebook that kind of went viral. And so he was like, oh, Barry, I was looking at your YouTube. Is that you that has 164 subscribers, which is not great? And I was like, yeah, that's me. He's got 27,000 followers on YouTube. That's a lot.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And I was like, what is he doing? So I looked at his, and he's like, he does like scratch offs and all these different things. I don't know like what the, like if he has tips or tricks or what, but whatever he's doing, he's got 27,000 followers. So he was like, I'm going to hook you up. So he's running a contest. He's basically like, y'all go follow Barry. Check out his video. He's super funny. Good dude. It's insane how many people I have. I'm almost at 1,000. His goal was to get me to 1,000 followers or subscribers on YouTube in a day. I'm almost at 1,000. So shout out to AR Platinum for having that kind of stroke on YouTube.
Yeah, I searched him on YouTube, and one of the first things, I think it was the second or third thing that popped up, was AR Platinum face reveal. So apparently he had this channel for a while and never revealed his face. And no one knew
who was. Yeah,
and they'd only heard his voice.
Yeah,
and then he revealed his face and.
But he was like, man, that was cool of him. He didn't have to do that. Like, that's, do you know how hard, listen, I've been at this a while now. Do you know how hard it is to get to 27,000 subscribers on a YouTube channel? That is not easy.
Yeah, unless you're a gamer.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it would be.
No, and to just be like, oh, yeah, I'll send you some, that's a cool dude. So yeah. I just, shout out to him. I really appreciate the love. That was very nice.
At least
nice
we're not obsessed with, like, how many followers we have on social media and everything like that. Because that's, like other people that they sit there at night and they contemplate it and they get mad about it. And then they scratch their temple and go, what should we do?
You're so mean.
And then maybe.
He's going to text you.
Maybe they throw a follower party so that they can celebrate and possibly get more. Yeah, I don't know. No, yeah, he's not there.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, but he's a hell of a second best PA guy.
Oh, man, you are just shooting shots.
I love him because he gets sensitive about all this. He'll go back. And
he's going to hate you.
It's probably already done.
Did y'all watch Hard Knocks last night?
I did. Don't even start with me. Here's the thing, Nick. It's like I almost asked three different times because I reminded everybody when we were in our production meeting yesterday, hey, Hard Knocks tonight, don't forget. Barry looks at me and goes, doesn't even look at me, by the way. He's in his computer and he goes, yeah, send me a text, remind me. I was like, bitch, you want me to get you dry cleaning and a coffee too? I'm like, are you kidding me?
So I
was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to be a team player. So at about 8:45, I was like, okay, it's going to be on in 15 minutes. I'm going to text him now. So I texted him, crickets, nothing. And I'm like, God forbid I show up tomorrow, and he didn't watch it.
I was in the shower when you texted. That's why there was a delay.
So I put, you heard me?
And I was like, yes, thank you.
5 minutes later, then finally said, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, Jesus, thank you. One little comment.
But now I got it set and it'll record the series, so you don't have to remind me anymore. I would forget. I'm a forgetful person. I told you that.
So what did I miss?
I appreciate you.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it was fun.
I even caught up on the previous one a little bit. There was a weird thing with my cable, but I got to watch most of it up to the game when they played the game.
Last week?
Yeah, last week's.
Okay.
I think my favorite guy is the offensive line coach. I don't know his
I
name.
I told you that. I told you from the very start. I was like, best. At some point, this guy is going to be a big part of this show, and it was this week.
He looks like Andy Reid. He looks like he ate Andy Reid.
Yes, he does.
Like, he's got the same walrus mustache, but he's like two Andy Reids. It's like, he's big, and then he ate Andy Reid and assumed his characteristics.
So he's like
and,
Andy Reid. Times 1.5.
He looks like Andy Reid's grandpa just ate Andy Reid.
It's amazing. And he drives a Maserati.
Unreal. A white Maserati. And he gets his fat ass in and out of that thing.
How? There's not two captain chairs. It's like one big sofa, right?
I don't know how the hell they do it.
There's no way.
It's a lawn chair.
So this week, they wanted to treat it like a regular season game. So the game was in Cleveland, but they stayed at a hotel in Cleveland the night before. So he pulls up to the valet lot. They didn't spend a whole lot of time on when the door first opened when he tries to get out. They just caught him kind of telling the valet guy, like, don't scratch it and blah, blah, blah. But he get, and it's like, oh my God, he's huge. And he really is driving a Maserati.
Yeah. And then he gets out and he goes, hey, he throws the keys to the valet. He goes, don't be Ferris Bueller in my car. Damn it. None of that.
He's all world, this guy.
Dude, like, everywhere you drive, you Ferris Bueller your car. Does the fender touch the tires when he's in that thing?
But he's funny. He was in one of their coaches or in the O-line meeting.
Position meeting.
Yeah, in the position meeting. He's like, all right, now there's a lot of you guys got to be animals, all right? Like, see this right here, this rhinoceros. This rhinoceros, you can't push this guy over. He's got a base. Look at that base. Look how his legs are spread. And he's comparing the O-line and how he wants them to be, like, low center of gravity, wide base. He's like, look, you see this? This is a gorilla. This guy right here, this is how you need to be playing.
You should have seen all their faces.
It is worth watching just for him.
He went hippo, rhino, I think it was. But when he went to the gorilla, and everybody in the online room is looking around like, are you really doing this? And he's like, yeah, look at that. I mean, look at it. They got long arms, long legs, but they stay low and they're center of gravity.
Did you notice, by the way, so he's doing O-line drills, right? He goes, hut! And he'll be like, all right, now, hut! And they just did this jump cuts of him going, hut, hut, hut. And every time he would hut, his gut would jump a foot in the air.
His entire stomach and his man boobs.
It was the funniest. They did that on purpose. And it was I was like, oh my God, I love Hard Knocks and the editors so much for this. Just that sequence. You should see if you could find it on YouTube.
I'm looking for it now.
His mistake, they had to pay for. So he's doing the hut-hut thing. And all of a sudden he goes, he goes, I'm not a quarterback. That's on me, guys. Get down. But he goes, get down and do it again. And he made them go do it again, the drill.
He made
even
them jump
though
off
he
sides.
Screwed up.
He goes, obviously, I'm not a quarterback. Look at me.
And the first shirt he's wearing is like a 4X, and it is like sweat stained, bleached, and like you can tell, I think they washed it, but it's like a shirt that looks like it was from the 70s, and he's wearing it like it's brand new.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it, and I see why people. Well, we're going to break. We'll pick it up on the other side. But put it this way, I see why everybody's out there betting in Vegas for the Browns, and I'll tell you why. But I get it.
That would be impressive if Hard Knocks had an impact on the Vegas numbers.
I think it does, though.
I think it does, for sure. I said it yesterday, yeah. All right, we'll get into more of that. We'll get Hard Knocks and more. Astros won. They're playing a day game today as well, trying to win that series against the Mariners before they head on over to Anaheim. So we'll wrap up that, talk some baseball, some football, and some other things. You know how we do it here on The Usual Suspects. Be a part of it, won't you? Right here on ESPN 97.5. 12, they took my rings.
They took my Rolex. Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel talking a little Hard Knocks on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who kissed the dog's mouth? Who
shut your hole?
Who kissed their dog's mouth? Who?
I kiss my dog's mouth. I don't French it.
You what?
I don't French
you
my
dog.
You
can't prevent them from
you
doing it.
You don't
in
open
return.
Mouth.
Like
you,
you
sure?
said, yeah. I don't open mouth kiss my dog.
All right. Somebody guessed the theme for this hour.
A couple people.
Are we
did.
Supposed to give it away when they guess it? If
we,
they get
we,
it right,
we just notate that they've got a couple people got it right, and at the end of the hour, we'll
okay.
reveal.
All right.
If others want to play along, so all way right. back Wednesday, songs pre 2000, we picked them. You guess. Each hour we have a different theme. Hopefully, it gets a little progressively harder for you, but hour number one, we'll give it away at the end of the hour, but guess the theme and why.
Somebody want to know, what is this rundown you guys always talk about? Is that some sort of industry device? Yeah, it's super secret. It's a trick of the trade. No.
Super classified.
It's just a document. It's just where we don't just come in and just, hopefully you guys think that we just come in and start talking. But,
I think a lot of people think that.
But yeah, we actually go through, read a lot of articles, read a lot of information, catch up on what the latest goings on. And then we post links and topics to all of that in a document. And we use that document to kind of steer and guide the show. Sometimes we don't use the document, and that's a good thing because then it means that the conversation was just free flowing and good. And sometimes we'll... If we feel like the show's slowing down or we don't know where to go next, we'll peek into that document and bring up something. So
exactly.
That's what it is.
But the Browns should never fire that coach.
No, ever. No. And your idea of me doing that on a video is a great idea.
You
I
should.
Wish I could have done it. I wish I would have
you
thought of
still
it sooner.
Do it and not tell anybody.
Yeah, I wish.
Get like a gray wig.
Nobody knows what we're talking about, by the way.
No.
Because we said it off the air.
You need to retweet it. At the producer Nick. So
the idea
who's
would
the
be
coach?
To have Barry dressed like the Browns offensive line coach.
Yeah, and just reenact what he did. Just the hut, hut! Because his belly jumps a good foot. It's at least a foot in the air every time he says hut. And then they just jump cut this back to back to back to back.
Bob Wiley.
Bob Wiley is his name, yeah. Yeah.
The breakout star.
That's my hero.
Of Hard Knocks as it's headlined on The Big Lead.
Dude is freaking... I told you guys, from the minute they did the quick shot of him in the first episode, and he was already off color, just no, not HR friendly, dropping a few yep. lines at guys yep. doing drills, you're like, oh, that guy's going to play a role.
Yeah, Nate said on Hard Knocks, Greg Williams is ruthless. He lights into those guys. I love it. That's how I used to coach back in the day. He's very aggressive.
So here's
the
thing.
I know that hurts some people's feelings, but it's football.
It's NFL football.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the only thing I could say is if people start thinking about his background with the whole Saints bounty gate thing,
yep.
and then they see him the way he is, I think a lot of people are like, oh, so that probably all did happen because he's that kind of guy. And you see him from the games to the sidelines, it doesn't change. The intensity doesn't go down. He is,
curse words don't go down.
I think that's the funny one of the other funniest lines of last night was Brad Paisley's a huge Browns fan and he comes to practice and everything like that and his entourage is there and Greg Williams comes over and wants to do the hi nice to meet you thing and he's like any of you guys allergic to cuss words? Because if you are, you better get to the pharmacy and get a prescription because I ain't stopping. I mean, every other word is an F bomb.
That's you have so awesome. To tweet that out.
That is so awesome.
Please tweet that out.
I'm about to retweet it right now.
It's the absolute best. If you have cable or HBO and you missed Hard Knocks, you have to go back and watch last night's Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Just for that, you will die laughing. It's so funny.
Yeah, I just retweeted it.
Brilliant.
At the producer, Nick. It's hilarious.
Brilliant, he's, brilliant editing by the
he's
folks
massive.
Hard Knocks.
So are we saying over or under four bills on this guy?
I think he's got to be over four bills.
You right? think?
But I don't know his height. I don't know how tall he is.
I don't think it matters. Have you seen that midsection?
He's wide.
Man, he makes pear-shaped look anorexic. I mean, he is massive.
Shout out to Cody Lancaster. He's mowing his yard listening to the show and then just shot me a video of him mowing. He's like, I know you'd be proud. Oh, baby.
See.
So proud of you.
So, Nick, skip the Guardian talk. I also, on the rundown, Nick, put the recap for Hard Knocks, and there's another little tidbit from Bob Wiley where he's given life advice to the offensive line. It's pretty good stuff.
Life advice to the – what did he say?
I'm not going to play it live because I'm running the risk that
curse
he may,
words?
And may say something off-color, too. But the other thing that comes to mind now – because I mentioned yesterday how Joe Thomas probably should have stuck it out for one more year, because as an all-world, all-pro, never-miss-a-game offensive lineman, that he would have been enjoying this team with the, now that they're kind of getting it right. But the one thing that Joe Thomas mentioned last week was that the offensive linemen got together, and there's like the kangaroo court. And if any of the offensive linemen feel like one of their guys got on Hard Knocks and got too much attention, or they were thirsty and really tried to get in a couple of shots, they could get fined up to $650. So he's like, rest assured, you're not going to see a lot of the offensive line, because otherwise the rest of the guys are going to fine them. And then lo and behold, because of Bob Wiley, they're in the meeting room. Yeah. And you can see all the guys kind of going, well, I'm not going to say
not
a whole
saying
lot.
Anything.
Let Bob take this one. I'm not doing it.
Okay, so here's why I think that people are putting money on the Browns to win their division. And some people are even betting that they win the championship. One, they're not getting great odds to begin with. But through the magic of editing and adding some spice to the video, it gets people pumped up and believing in a team. Like when you see them running the drills and they're doing it in slow motion and they're playing inspirational music and music that kind of gets you hyped and pumped up, and you're watching these dudes hitting tackling dummies that don't hit back and don't move. And I really feel like when you watch that, and then they're only going to show you most of the good highlights from the players, and then they show you like Juiced, and then they show you where he's doing bad, and then he starts doing good. And what was the kid that missed all the sacks in the first half, and then he came back and made a couple
in the
second half?
The D-lineman that's trying to earn a job. I'll get it.
They show you that, and that's all you see, and so you're thinking, man, this team can do no wrong. The same thing happened with the Texans, where you thought, oh, dude, the Texans will win the Super Bowl based on editing and the way that they present to you the scrimmages, the practices, and then preseason games. And I think a lot of people fall for it just because they're not really thinking. What you're not seeing is all the bad stuff. They'll show you some, and they'll show, you know, of an individual player or a drill or something, and make it funny. But a lot of it is, I mean, how many times did you see them hitting and flying into a tackling dummy, landing on a pad, or flipping midair as they're tackling a tackling? That means nothing. Guess what? Tackling dummies don't move. They don't hit back. But I think
someone
people
that
fall
tweeted
for
us had a great point. When's the last time one of the teams on Hard Knocks actually had a good year?
Yeah, that might be like the Madden curse.
Rams, Tampa Bay, the Jets, the Bengals. I can't think of one where that team ended up being a playoff team. Not even that Jets. That Jets team back then didn't. The Bengals, I think, have been on twice.
What year was that? Was the Texans last year?
2 years ago.
Two years ago. So they were 9-7 that year, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that might have been the best.
How about that? That was the best.
Pretty sad.
Man, yeah. I ain't kidding. But, of course, they also pick the stories that, because at the end, they want you to look at the waiver wire and see who made the team. And So Kajuice looks like he's got a shot, the tight end.
And then he won't make it, because remember they had, what's his name, James with the Sox?
Oh, yeah, Charles James.
Yeah, he made it, and then he got cut.
And then the linebacker from Michigan State or whatever that played for the Buccaneers the year before, and everybody thought he was a shoo-in to make it, and he got cut, and that was their sob story. But this, and by the way, it doesn't do a whole lot in terms of, in certain areas, trying to make NFL players look highly intelligent. The fourth string Brogan Robach, the backup quarterback, the fourth string quarterback.
There's nutritional value in butterflies, right?
What? Brain dead. I mean, man. And there's some real treats there. Yeah. All right, we're gonna get to a break. We'll come back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza, the big show we call The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel talking a little Hard Knocks. That was fun. The controversy of all controversies, by the way, is it Tyrod or Tyrod? And you can tell right away because, again, we previewed a lot of this for you and told you what to look for in this coming up. And they all kind of came to fruition in this episode, from the fight with Jarvis Landry to Dez coming to the what is going to end up being. Someone made a great analogy on Twitter. The Buddy Ryan, Kevin Gilbride incident is coming, only with Greg Williams and Todd Haley.
You feel it or what?
You can just feel like there's a lot of tension, because I told you guys to be ready for this because of the fact that at one point they mentioned, I was reading some like gossip column about NFL camps, and they said Todd Haley got really mad and yelled about the fact that guys were hitting the quarterback. Touch, yeah. And then Williams jumped in and goes, well, if you don't want him to hit the GD quarterback, then block somebody.
Yeah.
And so you could, but just more and more the way they're constantly barking at each other, I just think at some point that could happen.
They're both feisty, I'll tell you that much. It was interesting to see Dez show up to Browns camp. I thought they painted him in a pretty good light. I mean,
I agree.
It was different than what I expected. He was pretty cordial to everybody from the top all the way down to just dudes hanging out in the trainer's room. He'd go in and say hi and popped in on their radio show and was, you know, yes sir, no sir to people. And I didn't expect that kind of Dez. He seemed very warm and open and gracious, and I don't know, maybe he's just that his reputation isn't an accurate reflection of how he is.
He came with his PR people. You saw them walk in the building before him, and you got to believe that there was a meeting before the meeting in which they said, hey, you could really do yourself some good here.
Yeah.
The cameras are going to be all over. Don't even worry about where they are.
But so is it going to happen, you think?
I don't think so.
Is it a done deal?
I don't think so. You know why? Because how did it end? Josh come back.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they won't get Dez, too.
I don't know that they... It all depends on the kid, Coleman, the kid from Florida. Because depending on how that plays out, and because of what salary cap issues they may or may not have, Dez is going to want a one-year deal, probably upwards of 10. And you've got two really world-class, as long as they, you know, in the case, not in the case, I should say, of Landry, but if they keep their head on straight, you got two world-class receivers already. I don't know how much money you're going to spend on your receiving crew.
Yeah, but you've also got a guy that has issues that isn't reliable in Gordon. You know he's great on the field.
But that's what I'm saying.
You have to worry about that.
He's kind of a head case.
The kid from Florida, you have to worry about off the field. At least with Dez, you know, the biggest problem with him besides age is going to be that he's a head case, but it's because he wants the ball. I'd rather have a dude that I can count on that is bitching because he's not getting the ball thrown to him enough, as opposed to a guy that when he's not on the field, he's a complete moron.
Like I said, but I get it. I just think that they're already paying. They paid a monster salary. Who else
wants
Dez?
No one else wants Dez right now.
You see him now today. He's lobbying, trying to like and make comments on Patriot stuff on Twitter because he's trying to get in there, and he's not. They don't have room. They don't want him either.
But that's the thing, is there's not a lot of folks are beating down the door to get Dez. He blew it with the Ravens and having that offer. So he might have to take what he can get to just to stay active and in the league.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I literally, at this point in everybody's camp, what's done is done. Unless someone suffers an injury, and you look at what happened with Geis in Washington. That's the reason why Adrian Peterson was signed. Otherwise, he was just dangling in the wind, too. And once you start getting ready for week three of the preseason, all bets are off, because they've brought in who they're going to bring
That's
in,
right.
And they've had the time to teach them the system. They're not going to go make any more quick changes.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Bill O'Brien saying it's all hands on deck for week three versus the Rams. Probably going to see J.J. Watt play.
By the way, before we get off that too, Corey Coleman was the guy they traded.
Yes.
The kid from Florida, I'll get his name, but I had said Coleman, so I just want to correct that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find it interesting that it's all hands on deck for the Texans week three versus the Rams? That Watt will play, Watson will play, Hopkins will play. I mean, all these guys.
I don't like it. I did a video for Sports Map on it yesterday. I think it'll come out probably today or tomorrow. But the reason I don't like it is it means nothing to see them in the preseason. And you'd rather have them ready to go, healthy, 100% for the first game, because it's such a big game against the Patriots too. But the other thing too is from a Deshaun standpoint, I don't mind seeing him for just a series again, but here's why I don't like it. You're playing one hell of a defense. Whether you get into, you know, who's holding out and who's not, I mean, you look at two all-world corners that they have now. They went out and got Tlaib. You know, they've got great corners. They've got, you know, a monster defensive front. They've got great linebackers. And I just don't think you need to see that where, you know, lo and behold, Deshaun scrambles a little bit or he starts wandering out of the pocket and someone unloads on him. I don't need to see that. I know what we're going to get out of
him. What's the difference in that for a series or two versus week one? I mean, if he's getting it hurt by getting hit, you can't control that.
But New England's defense isn't even close to what the Rams are.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, that doesn't matter. They're still big physical guys. No. I mean, skill wise, they may be slightly better skill wise, but they're all NFL caliber players.
Deshaun sliced and diced the Patriots last year, and I don't think that they're any better than they were a year ago defensively, so I'm not worried about them. But I don't like, and again, we mentioned the Wade Phillips factor too, and I don't think he's going to go crazy or anything, but I just don't like putting him out there in a meaningless game for extended time against a really good defense.
Exclude Watson. What about Watt? Are you good with J.J. Watt being on the field?
Maybe a little. I don't mind him getting a few reps in, but I don't want him going crazy either. Because
Bernard McKinney?
Clowney? Clowney, I don't want to see at all. Clowney, because he just started practicing. And if he just started practicing and right away you're going to throw him into a game situation, I don't think his body's ready for that yet.
But here's the concern, and I see why that you would want to do it. And I'm with you in a certain degree where you have to be really cautious. You don't want to get your team hurt, but at the same time, you don't want to be behind schedule with these guys being game ready, because in 2 weeks the games count. Week one, they count. And if those guys are a step or two behind because they're out of shape and it's going to take a game and a half for them to get into shape because they haven't played, all they've done is practice. And then now you're jeopardizing a couple of the first games that count in the season. So I get that in a way. But what's wrong with maybe, you know, a couple of series for each of those guys?
I'd rather not, simply because of the fact that, like I said, in a couple of instances, especially in the case of Clowney, I just want him to be in game shape. Take some contact at practice where they can monitor him a little bit, get his cardio back up, get him to back where he's really in game speed. Again, with Watt, he's back a lot sooner than a lot of people expected, and he's only played 8 games in the last couple of years. I don't want him playing a lot. A couple series, fine if you want to try it. But for me, I'd rather not risk it in the preseason and just go all out for the regular season.
The worst thing that could absolutely happen, though, is that one of those guys gets hurt.
In preseason. It's going to be a disaster. God. But the thing is, a lot of it's
on... But how do you not do that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just think it's a lot of it's on Bill O'Brien. A lot of these players that he has on the roster right now, he knows their history and he knows what they're kind of prone to. And being in hitting shape, quote-unquote hitting shape, impacts different players. Like, some people can get away with not being in hitting shape and then come game time and not necessarily get injured. And I feel like other people need to be hit quite a bit. With J.J., I think it's hard to tell. But with someone like Deshaun Watson or D-Hop or you mentioned McKinney, all these players, they've been under O'Brien for a minute. And, I mean, he should kind of know who's more prone to injury or not. J.J. Watt is kind of a tough call, in my opinion. How do you tell?
I don't want him out there.
How do you
just
tell?
Don't.
8 games last 2 years. How do you tell whether or not you put him in a preseason game and how many series does he actually get? That's a tough call.
And think about it, Barry. Think about if he gets up against a guy that's trying to earn a spot, that's going to go balls out and then some, and really get hyper aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't want that guy going at JJ or giving a little extra at the end of a play and cutting him on the side of the knee or hitting the leg. I don't need to see all that. I understand anything can happen, but. I'd rather not. That's my personal opinion.
Well, you got to be ready though. It's a weird deal. And it's, you know, week 3, so none of those guys are going to play in week 4. But so do you just go the whole preseason and they don't play at all? You don't get any reps in?
I'm fine with a series or two. I'm fine with it.
Cuz I guess now that I say it out loud, what's the difference in a series versus a half? I mean, or versus not playing at all? What are you really gaining out of?
I think the only thing you're gaining is
plays
by the
game. Field versus none.
I think the only thing you're gaining by the game itself is game speed, game shape, like having to reset real quickly from play to play. You know, like kind of like the Greg Williams thing's talking about. Make the play, but hustle back to the line and the huddle and be ready to make another play right away. The timing of it, the cardio part portion of it. Other than that, I think you get contact in practice. I think it's more controlled so that you can avoid injury by freak accident or otherwise, or like I said, hyper-aggression on a guy trying to make the roster from another team. And yet, you know that when the game starts for real, that at least they've been cleared to play.
All right, I think you guys convinced me. I don't want him playing. I'll switch.
I mean, I wasn't necessarily against him playing or not playing. I just think it's a tough... Bill O'Brien should know. I feel like he should know with this roster.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Point. That's a good point. Did you see what Sean tweeted out?
Who tweeted out?
Sean on Twitter. Everyday hypocrite.
Oh, yeah. I just saw it. Yeah. He's a new participant of the show, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. Did you see this? He didn't tag you on it.
He did not.
It's a guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And
brutal.
It's a guy and some peanut butter and a dog.
Boy, I hope you swear on the air today, Barry. I swear I will let that.
I didn't tweet it, Nick. I'm on your side.
I swear. I'm going to stay 10 feet away from the dumb button.
I'm on your side.
Just letting you know. Just warning you.
I didn't tweet that.
Go to break.
I love you. Why are you so angry? All right, go to break.
Thanks, Chief. Got appreciate your permission. Okay, so hour number one's in the books.
Yeah. Did
so
you guess it?
Hour number one song.
Did you guess it?
Artist title relating to dogs. A lot of you got that. But the reason why is, of course, because of the open mouth kisses that Nick gives his dogs and the doggy hotel that he's putting them up in.
Everything but the open mouth kiss part.
Okay.
That's correct.
Whether you give or receive, it's all the same. All right. Hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.